on today's episode of Insight EPI.
I thought, wow, that is a big change.
1 year is very short, actually. Just getting into this profession, this is what will be referred to as a standard track for the EQE exam now.
And the fast track works like this.
It is good to get the clock starting.
This is Insight EPI, the podcast brought to you by the European Patent Institute. As the professional body representing European patent attorneys, the EPI is engaging with all things pertinent to our field on a continual basis. Whether you're an EPI member or student, an EQE candidate, or just interested in what we're doing, look behind the scenes with Insight EPI. So, thanks for tuning in again to the second episode of our EQE podcast series. Today we're going to talk about the structure of the new EQE system. But let's ask our experts.
My name is Anna and I'm a European patent attorney from Iceland.
And I'm Nina, a European patent attorney based in Germany. And both Anna and I have been active EQE tutors for the last few years.
A lot has changed. Instead of the pre-examination and papers A to D, there are now paper F for foundation and papers M1 to M4, the main examination modules. Particularly noteworthy is the fact that paper F can be taken after just 1 year of experience.
Personally, when I saw that, I thought, wow, that is a big change. Only 1 year of experience and you're already starting your EQEs. Anna, what's your take on paper F and the amount of time you need to be able to write it?
1 year is very short, actually. Just getting into this profession, there's so much amount of information you kind of need to process and use to kind of understand how to proceed. And it will be challenging for the candidates to kind of take an exam 1 year in. The exams are set up to be gradual. So we would expect paper F to be for candidates that have this 1 year experience. So in comparison to the pre-exam, which you could not take until you had 2 years training experience, we would expect it to be adapted kind of down a level or to be easier, so to say.
Right. And you will hear more in detail about this when we talk about each paper individually. But let's get back to the overview of the general structure of the new system for now. So paper F after a year, and then after 2 years of experience, you are allowed to take papers M1 and M2. So it's a more gradual introduction, let's say. So instead of taking a pre-exam after 2 years and the main exam after three, you can take F after 1 year, M1 and M2 after 2 years, and then M3 and M4 after 3 years. I think that's a nice way to kind of make sure that this is a gradual onset of exams and that they are testing progressively more advanced knowledge of the candidates. And generally, I am a fan, I think, of this gradual setup.
Yeah, me too as well. In the beginning as well, we have a little bit more of a declarative knowledge, so more like legal concepts and how you would apply them. And then as this progressively goes on, they test more the practical skills. And once you get to the third year, it's a combination of those two. And so when we talk about taking the exams after this kind of gradual plan, this is what will be referred to as a standard track for the EQE exam now.
So there's a standard track that you can follow if you want to gradually increase complexity over the years. This standard track specifies the minimum number of years of experience you need to have if you want to write a certain exam. Given its name standard track, it implies that there must be also alternative ways to go. In fact, the new exam offers a high degree of flexibility. Let's take a closer look.
It is not the only way that you can take the exams, so there is a very flexible way to take them. For example, a candidate can take the paper F after 1 year. But then let's say that when the 2 years come up, that situation at home or work or you're busy doing something else and you just don't seem to be able to take the exam that year, you can also just skip the exams that year and then just take all four when you have the 3 years. So there is clearly some adaptability here and flexibility for the candidates.
And this is where I have to pipe up and put on my Germany hat and chime in. Specifically say for the German candidates, if you are doing your Amtsjahr, so the training at the German Patent and Trademark Office that you do after you've done a certain amount of time as a candidate in your law firm or in your industry patent department. So if your Amtsjahr falls during that time, let's say after the 2 years, you have the flexibility to skip that year and then write all four papers after 3 years. So you don't have to miss out and write the AQE later. You have this additional possibility of staying on track and not being delayed in terms of the qualification, which I think is great for the German candidates who previously may have sacrificed a year or two here and there, depending on how their German training was going. There are also some other ways. So let's say paper F does not work out in the first year. Let's say, well, unfortunately, you fail it. You can, of course, retake it after 2 years, pass it, and then go on to take papers M1 to M4 after 3 years. Finally, if you don't wish to take paper F after 1 year, if you still don't feel like you want to start with the exams or if other things come up, you can take it after 2 years and then immediately go on to take the four M papers after 3 years. So the cool thing is that the modules are quite independent from each other, and I guess that's part of this modular concept. What are your thoughts on this, Anna?
I think it's great, and it provides, I don't know, a much more flexible way for the candidate. When candidates go through the standard track, however, even if they skip some years or progress in that way, the standard track kind of means that you start with paper F. Once you've passed paper F and enter into the modules, if you fail any of them, which can happen, you are able to resit these papers as necessary. So there's no restriction prior to that. So it kind of works like the old exams. Once you pass the pre-exam and took ABCD, if you failed any of them, then you could resit them as required. So that has not changed.
But some things have changed. We've already discussed some of the alternatives to the standard way. But there is another new option, the fast track. Sounds tempting? Yes. But everything has its price. Pay really close attention now, because this option could also have some pitfalls.
And the fast track works like this. You register at the start of your training. After 1 year, you don't sit any exams. After 2 years, you also don't sit any exams. And then after 3 years, you take your M modules all at once. So the four M modules. And you will see that I did not mention module F. The way that the fast track is set up is that you can be exempted from module F if you pass a certain combination of papers M at this one try where you write all four of them. What are the options there in terms of passing and failing, Anna?
When you take all four modules, you will be required always to pass M2. M2 is the equivalent of the old D1 part. You can think about it this way, that this would correspond to the legal part of the F exam. Then if you do pass M2, you will also need to pass at least M1 or M3. These would give you the skills which would be equivalent to the claim analysis of paper F. You always would need to pass M2, and then you need to pass either M1 or M3. To be able to be exempt from paper F anytime in the future or at all. But if you fail M2 or if you fail both M1 and M3, then the following year you actually need to take paper F, but you can also take your failed M modules. The only risk is that if you fail paper F, your M modules will not be marked. But if you pass paper F, your M modules will be marked. So going the fast track does have a little bit of a risk involved.
It's not trivial in terms of how you stay on the fast track and how you might potentially get kicked off it. But I still think it's a cool new feature because it gives you the flexibility to do all four exams after 3 years all at once and to also skip paper F. So for some candidates, that might be their preferred option. If you are perhaps like me and like to just cram your exam studying into a shorter amount of time and not be a good student and study throughout the years, this might be an option that sounds appealing, or obviously various life circumstances and whatnot. So the fast track is an interesting concept. For some candidates, it might be something that they might be interested in doing.
We've really covered a lot of options here, and it may seem a little confusing at first. But don't worry, you can also take a look at the EPI website, where all these options are explained and visualized in detail. Make sure to have a look. And there's something else you really need to know.
Before you can start in any of these two tracks, you also have to register and enroll for the papers. And remember that these are two separate acts that you have to do. In terms of registration, you have to register basically as soon as you can after you start your training. and you register with the EQE secretariat by sending in some documents demonstrating that you fulfill the various criteria to sit the exam. And this is where we have to tell you something really, really important. If you are planning to sit Paper F in 2025, you must register by 28 May 2024. So if you are a candidate who is now starting out, who just started out their way in the profession, first of all, welcome. We look forward to getting to know you more in this profession. And second of all, please make sure that you register by 28th of May, 2024. This is really important. If you don't, you may not be able to sit Paper F in 2025.
Exactly. So what Nina is referring to is the compulsory registration that you need to do with the EQE secretariat. And this is kind of where you prove that you have the scientific and or the technical qualification background that is required for you to become a European patent attorney. And I'm also going to stress, even if you're not sure if you want to take the exams in 2025, it is actually just good to register just as soon as you can, just to have the clock start ticking.
Please allow me to insist again, if you are even remotely considering sitting Paper F in 2025, you must have registered with the EQE Secretariat by the 28th of May 2024. Of course, this doesn't mean that you'll actually have to sit Paper F in 2025, but this way you keep all your options open.
You can just take the exams when you're ready, but it is good to get the clock starting. Once you're registered and you are ready to take exams, you will need to enroll for each exam separately. And usually there are different time limits for that. For the candidates that would like to take Paper F in 2025, they must enroll into the exam and pay the relevant fee. And the enrollment starts on the 8th of July and ends on the 23rd of September. Make sure that you don't miss that deadline if you want to take the exam F.
So as you were listening to this episode, you may have noticed that we've gone through some quite technical terms and different ways in which you can sit the new exam and the standard track and the fast track. And in case this was all still a bit too confusing, as it might be when you are just listening to someone describe it, the EPI has prepared some nice visual resources which explain how the new system is set up and how you can navigate the new EQE. So you can find it on the patentepi.org website. If you go to the main page, there should be a link to these resources from there. And hopefully that helps you navigate the EQE format changes a bit better than just an audio description. And for today, from Anna and myself, it's goodbye.
Next time on Insight EPI.
In 2025 and onwards, we will have a very specific schedule of the papers, both the old ones and the new ones.
And so we want to first walk you through the next 3 years in terms of which papers will be available.
Make sure to tune in to our next episode of Insight EPI. For further learning materials, updates on events and services, make sure to check out epi-learning.org, as well as our website, and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite streaming platform. Insight EPI. Information from the profession, for the profession. This episode was produced by WHS Learning.